from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Live from Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. It's the PM team. Dallas Braden will be joining us tomorrow. Donnie and I had it happen, as it always does. Guest is scheduled to call. Guest does not call. Guest calls. What was it, Donnie? Literally as we were heading to break?
Yeah, we might have been like one spot into the break, and he called.
Yeah, well, we'll have Dallas Braden on tomorrow. Did he seem annoyed with us or himself or nothing at all? Was
himself,
he cool about it?
Himself, yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, we'll bring him on when the entire gang is here tomorrow. Now, I did a guest last week was my Joe Starkey week, which is called You Have Multiple Days Off for the Sole Express Purpose of Playing Golf. One of them scheduled, one of them not. Friday was the scheduled one. But right after I finished my little round of golf, Donnie, and before you guys would have been going on the air, although I know you were off that day as well. Well, no, you were. Wait, were you filling in that day or no?
Friday I was in 10 to 2.
That's right. That's right. You were 10 to 2. Okay. So I was doing this hit with Adam Epstein. He does, it's called AWOD Radio. It's one of our Odyssey stations in Richmond, Virginia. So they're actually, I didn't understand the concept, Donnie, but they basically cover DC sports down there. I guess it makes sense. It's like 2 hours south, but DC's pretty big area. So you've got people, I think, that even commute up probably from Richmond and work there. So it's a DC adjacent sports station. So we were going through all the motions of talking about Paul Skeens, a lot of questions about Skeens, interesting talk. I was enjoying it. And then he jumped over and said, well, football does rule the roost. So I could hear our boss, Craig Riley, if he was listening to this guy do radio, go, oh, now that's a really smart guy right there. I bet he loves content. He's asking me about Steelers stuff. And he asked this in a way that maybe we've talked about it. In fact, I'm sure we have on the show, but just hearing somebody on the outside say this kind of rang a bell in my head or hit me a little bit differently, and it was this. He just said, so you've got two quarterbacks there. Who do you think Steelers fans want to be their quarterback right now? And I didn't really hesitate. I don't know how you would answer this question, but I pretty immediately said Justin Fields. And then I thought about what I said for a second, and it kind of struck me as odd that I was that quick to it because I think I'm right. I do think most Steelers fans want Justin Fields to start. By the way, training camp, isn't this strange, by the way, Donnie? Training camp opens, they report in 2 days on Wednesday, and it feels like we have barely paid mention of them in like a serious way other than Ayuk trade rumors and the draft, right? Do you feel like we've even, as an aside here, do you feel like we've even done a lot of Steelers talk other than who is Brandon Ayuk potentially going to get traded to, if anybody, and how did their draft go?
Yeah, not much at all. I mean, we brought it up, a couple of weeks ago, how we were We were only a month away from the first preseason game, which I think as of this Friday, it'll be like 2 weeks. And I feel like it's never really it hasn't really been a huge story since free agency. I mean, obviously the draft got us some big headlines as well, but I mean, you have to credit the baseball team in town for that. The Pirates have very much stayed in the thick of things, and by the looks of it, they're going to stay in the thick of things for a little bit longer.
And there, I would agree with that second part and the first part, really, about the Pirates. But once the Steelers hit camp, I'm going to be talking about them, and for good reason. But I answered the question with Fields, and then I thought about how I answered. I just said pretty emphatically, Fields, he's got the higher ceiling, he's got all this, he's got all that. And then it did make me realize, maybe just saying it out loud, like it's, I don't know how to explain it, but when you're hosting a show and you're doing your own opinions and you're sketching out your thoughts and you're kind of, how am I going to go from point A to point B? There's a little peek behind the curtain, everybody. It's different than when somebody just puts you on the spot and just asks you questions. You sort of answer sometimes in a much cleaner and unfiltered way. And that's how it happened. And so I thought to myself, I think it bodes poorly the people, if the majority of people in town want to see Justin Fields for this coming season, because I don't think he's going to get the job. I think Russell Wilson's going to do enough to keep it. But here was the dynamic I thought that had never occurred to me previously. There are two schools of thought that seem to be floating around the Steelers fan base right now. One is that writ large, and you saw the failure of this with both, in a way, Mitch Trubisky. If you believed in him, that's on you, but whatever. Like, some people thought, hey, they'll take the number two overall pick in the draft from several years ago, and they'll make him into something. And then with Kenny Pickett, it obviously didn't work. But there's a school of thought out there, and it's backed by pretty much by empirical evidence, that the Steelers under Mike Tomlin have not handled their quarterbacks well, or have not shown an ability to develop one. Obviously, they inherited Roethlisberger. He probably was going to succeed anywhere he went because of the physical gifts. But that this team, other than Ben Roethlisberger, has not proven itself capable of developing quarterbacks, right? And yet, if you want them to start Justin Fields, or if you think that Justin Fields is the answer and is the clear better player than Russell Wilson, and that, like, you're saying that because you think this team can win big with Justin Fields, you're doing that for a player who ended up not having it work out in Chicago. If it had worked out better, they would have probably passed on Caleb Williams. Like, I think if he had shown, I would say if he had shown like the Jordan Love season this past year, where there was obvious big time plays being made pretty regularly, Donnie, especially down the stretch, he gets them to the playoffs, he wins a playoff game, they're obviously not taking Caleb Williams if they have the number one pick in that situation. So it's this weird marriage of Steelers fans who don't think the Steelers really can develop their own quarterback that isn't Ben Roethlisberger, but want to see them take a shot with Justin Fields, who for all his physical gifts is still an unpolished stone. You know what I mean? Like, those two things shouldn't really exist side by side. And yet as I was thinking about how I answered this guy's question, that's clearly how people feel. Give me the higher ceiling guy. Give me the guy whose athletic ability can win you games by itself. Don't worry, I'll figure it out later with this team when it comes to actually making those players into productive quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's the power of the unknown with him. Whereas you have Russell Wilson, we know what Russell Wilson is. He is in the back nine of his career and then some. I mean, he's probably down to his last few holes in his career. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been back to another one. But, like, is he really going to reach those heights again? Probably not. Whereas Justin Fields, he's still a kid in a lot of people's eyes. You know, he's not a guy in his late 30s who has been around for well over a decade. He's been around for a couple of years. He got drafted young. He's still young. He's in his mid-20s. And you do have the athleticism factor to take into account here as well. I mean, he has lethal legs. And if he can get going, he can be a very, very exciting player. But like you said, it's a lot of hope more than anything with Fields. But I think it's easy to explain why he's the more exciting of the two names.
Well, I think too, and I want to expand on this in a minute, I think it's also a commentary on almost maybe how they see the Steelers this year. I think you said it's the factor of the unknown. I think it's also hand in hand with that, a curiosity factor. And it made me think about one other thing for this season. Text line 412-928-9370 is brought to you by Edgar Snyder Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I got asked this question doing a guest spot on another radio show. Who do Steelers fans want to be the quarterback this year? Who do they want to see play quarterback? I almost instantly said Justin Fields. Was that representative? Did I do a good job of telling somebody else in Richmond, Virginia, what you people out there think of this quarterback derby? Do you want to see Justin Fields take over that job sooner rather than...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Later. Live from Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville, Studio B here on the PM team. By the way, Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We have, at the bottom of the hour, a Bucko Minute for you. Something maybe unexpected today. I just mentioned, sometimes you do a guest spot. Like, I had fun talking in D.C. with the Sports Junkies, their big morning show a couple of weeks ago. They were very preoccupied with Pony's insane tweets during that interview. But I did a hit in Richmond, and it was people asking me about Skeens, but I said it was also getting grilled on the Steelers, which you kind of go into those expecting to have happen because that's what most people care about. And host asked me, who do Steelers fans want to see at quarterback? I replied very quickly, Justin Fields. I thought Donnie said something good last segment when we were talking about this, just saying people want the unknown. Fake John and Robinson messages to say people just want to see an entertaining product. It was such a pop gun with Pickett for 2 years that people just want to see stuff happening. I think there's some truth to that. The thing I didn't mention earlier about all this, though, Donnie, that I think bears mentioning now is the way the Steelers have it at the very least talked about how this is going to go, where we all know that it's not really a competition. Wilson's got pole position. Field and say all he wants, that he's out there to win the job. The way they handled Trubisky and Pickett means they're going to probably just give this job to Fields unless he's so catastrophically awful that they can't do that in training camp. If you are a Steelers fan who wants to see Fields this year, to actually get your wish, there is a decent chance that you would then need to quote-unquote suffer through that which Steelers fans never suffer through, which is an actual losing to pretty bad season. Like, I would say, go so far as to say that if they would have to be something like 2-5 or 2-6 through 7 or 8 games, probably 2-5 is where the ripcord would get pulled to go to Fields. And now we know that they've been 3 games under 500 and needed to win all 3 to get out. They were, 7-7 last year. And it looked for all the world like they were going to go and probably finish 7-10, 8-9, and then they won 3 in a row by Mason Rudolph. Stranger things have happened. But the way I look at this from the outside looking in, is that if you're going to see Justin Fields actually playing quarterback this year, for any significant period of time, it's because something bad happened to the team and by extension Russell Wilson, i.e. they weren't good. So I think it could be one of those years where if you're a fan who wants to see Fields, you might see that as a byproduct of a team that is pretty bad, like out in front of him, or a quarterback that plays ahead of him on the depth chart pretty poorly. And what kind of sucks about that, Donnie, I don't know if you agree with this, is if Fields was given a fair shot to win the job in training camp and actually seized it from Russell Wilson, and again, I think it's clear that that's not even going to have a chance of happening, then I think there would be a reason to be excited. Hey, this guy won. It was a real competition. He was better than the player who was presumed to start. It just doesn't feel like that's in the cards, and that the only way they do it, like Justin Fields is encased under plate glass and there's a break in case of emergency button with him. And so I just think that there is a very big Venn diagram crossover for Steelers have a losing season, Justin Fields starts majority of the games. Not because he would necessarily lose them, but because they'd have dug themselves a hole at that point, and then he'd be asked to come in and play fireman.
Yeah, I mean, I have zero doubt if we end up seeing that happen at the midway point of the season, barring injury. I mean, you're saying just performance-based and just what the record may be, and I think the record's the more important thing here, because we have seen examples in the last couple of years now that even if the team is winning, the quarterback numbers don't have to look great. What matters is that the team is winning. If it doesn't work that way, if they're like 2-6 or something 8 games in, they're going to absolutely finish below 500. It would need to be a Herculean effort.
Schedule's a meat grinder the second half of the season. It's preposterous.
Yeah, I mean, they need to make their hay while the sun is shining in that first half, if anything. They need to be the opposite of that if they want any hope, I think, in the season's second half.
The other thing, too, is in terms of team development, and I know you're a big how do you build a good team, right? And that's the Steelers seem to be taking a longer-term approach, which I like. Like, they're trying to build two steps ahead, which I just think is smart. A pretty long look at Fields, and if he's pretty good, then he's your guy. You make sure you get some sort of deal hammered out with him that gives you a chance to sign him long term. Maybe if he comes in and takes over for a team that's got a bad record that faces a gauntlet down the stretch, you finish with a pretty bad record, but he plays well enough that you are convinced he is your answer at that position. Oh, and by the way, you don't have to even be tempted to reach for a quarterback and year's class, which looks like it's going to be the 2022 level as far as being bad at that position. There is a scenario here by which if you can get over the stink of having to deal with an actual losing season, that certain things could happen for them that would be good in the long run. Eugene is in Pittsburgh.
Yes,
Eugene. Yes.
Speaking. Yes, I really like to see Russell Wilson get a shot. To be able to start as a quarterback, because I think he's had a bad situation in Denver. We've seen other quarterbacks that at the end of their careers go to good teams or semi-good teams and excel. I just don't think Denver was a good fit for him. I think they'll both play. I don't believe it'll just be a one-dimensional thing. I think with the legs of Fields and Russell's experience behind the helm, I think it could work out for him. It's just a matter of how they do it.
Do you think Wilson has like years left in his body to play the position the way he did like 7 or 8 years ago, mid 2010s?
If our line can hold up and it's a new line, offensive line, I think he can do pretty well. I mean, last year he had 28 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I mean, he had more touchdowns than all 3 of our quarterbacks.
He was lethal. He was lethal in the red zone. And if I'm hanging my hat on one thing, I am somebody, Eugene, who thinks that he's going to play the majority, if not all, the season. So I have to believe that there's a base level that he's going to play pretty well. He was great in the red zone. 20 touchdowns, 1 pick. Some people might want to chalk that up to Sean Payton's drawn up good plays, or he's thrown jump balls to Cortland Sutton or whatever, but that's still, the numbers are the numbers at some point, and 20-1 is really good. I do think that you should have pause, though, and I do when I say nice things about Russell Wilson. I'm no fan of Sean Payton, like the person, the personality, but you'd be a fool to think that Sean Payton doesn't know how to coach offense in the NFL. Like, he's not just a creation of the fact that Drew Brees was such an accurate quarterback. Sean Payton knew how to design mismatches, get players open, and so forth. And for him to be that out on Russell Wilson that quickly, And for Denver to be willing to take on that level of dead cap just to get away from Russell Wilson does say a pretty good amount about how they feel about him. And it does give me pause, because it's not like it's a defensive head coach. It's not like it's somebody that has no real chops on the offensive side of the ball saying this. It's a guy who is a head coach because he knows offense, who was out on Russell Wilson, who didn't have the heart to stick with Russell Wilson for the duration of that contract or even close to it. And speaking of heart, UPMC Health System, they want you to know your heart care matters, because it does. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. Chevrolet in Monroeville. Big events happening at PNC Park this past weekend. Pirates took 2 of 3 from the Phillies, the first in thrilling fashion. The second, that kind of good business-like win that good teams tend to pile up over the course of a season. It's exactly what the Pirates got. Other big goings-on in the world of baseball at large, of course, were happening some hours north and east in Cooperstown, New York. Baseball Hall of Fame inductions, Joe Mauer, Todd Helton, Adrian Beltre. No word on whether or not anyone touched Adrian Beltre's head during the proceedings. And then Jim Leland, of course, also enshrined in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Donnie, did you catch any of what Leland had to say in his remarks about all this?
I saw little clips here and there, and I had last week I had Lanny Fratteri on the show. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. I had John Perotto on Bucco Talk on Saturday morning.
Very nice.
Jason Mackey, who we will have on in about 2 hours, he was with me on Friday. All three of them talked about how quickly they think Jim Leland would get emotional in his speech. All three of them brought that up.
Well, here's a snippet of what Jim Leland had to say. I too was catching clips of this, and I thought this was really good.
In 1985, I got my chance when Sid Thrift of the Pittsburgh Pirates hired me to manage the Buccos. Thank you, Sid. What a job he did, and who could ever forget the Killer Bees? It was my first of four teams that I had the honor to manage: the Pirates, the Marlins, the Rockies, and the Tigers. And there was something special about all of them. The Pirates, because they gave me my first chance, and I'll never forget that. And there are some Pirate players here today: Bob Walk, John Wehner, Andy Van Slyke, and I certainly have to mention Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, Jay Bell, Doug Drabek. I'd love to mention everybody, but I just can't. I never felt like manager and fans in Pittsburgh. It felt more like manager and friends. I know we made you happy, and I know we broke your heart, but I always felt that we were in it together. I'd also like to thank Larry Doty, Ted Simmons, and Cam Bonifay, who I worked with in Pittsburgh, and also, at the time, the 13 corporations that probably saved the Pirates.
He got choked up there. He also, Donnie, there's another one that's on my Twitter feed if you want to get one more from Leland here, that I tweeted out. The Tigers Twitter feed actually sent it out. You can play it straight away. It's fine. There's nothing obviously profane. Jim Leland wasn't up there ripping darts and then dropping F-bombs. But that first clip I thought was great. Because you know what? Like, when you hear somebody that managed the team talk like that, not that it doesn't stick with them when they have a tough loss, or, you know, obviously the highs and the lows are what they are, Donnie, before we hear this other clip from Leland. But, like, to hear him get choked up about basically, like, not being able to get all the way across the finish line, I don't know. I think I identify with that as a fan, because, you know, there were not many dry eyes in houses in Southwest Pennsylvania in 92, especially. I think sometimes what happens in sports is guys are making a lot of money to play these games. They're also not like native Pittsburghers, right? So there's this idea that, well, these guys care just as much as we do. They want to win, sure, but there's not like that sort of letdown that you get if you're from the city, if you've been a fan of that team all your life. In fact, guys, I'm sure, get drafted every day or get drafted every year who get picked by the team that they grew up rooting against. And so I just thought it was neat to hear him get choked up still 30 plus years later, maybe for the wrong reasons, obviously, because they didn't get it done. But you could tell how much he cared. And I think that's one of the things people liked the most about him. He very visibly, in a different era for baseball, in a different era as far as how managers interacted with players and everything else, very visibly gave a crap. This is the other part that I really liked from Leland from yesterday's speech.
And in closing, I would like to say this to the fans. No matter which Hall of Famer you're here to support today or which team you cheer for, your presence is always felt. On your feet in the ninth, with the home team clinging to a one-run lead, turning on your television for the first game of the World Series, and seeing 50,000 fans waving towels, hoping and praying that this may be their year. Or a little boy or girl getting their first autograph and scurrying back to the stands to show mom and dad their latest treasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's you. That's baseball, and this is the Hall of Fame. Thank you very much.
What do you think of that, Donnie? You think if John Football was watching that, he would have gotten a little glassy-eyed?
I could see it. I don't know. I'm gonna have to ask him if he has seen anything from that. I mean, the man led a very special time in Pirates baseball. I mean, yeah, we all know that they didn't ultimately get it done, but still, some very, very memorable years. Another thing off the point that you just made before we played that clip.
Yeah.
I also think a reason why, and you said it, why it felt a little bit more serious to Leland maybe than some of the players who would be in and out of town. I think people always loved the fact that Leland, like, settled down here. Like, he lived
member
here for a while.
Member of Chartier's Country Club.
Yeah, he's still around. Like, this is the place that he chose to live and raise his family. I think that really speaks volumes to a lot of people, and that earns a lot of points.
You know, I would hope that baseball was listening to that second clip, and I'm not singling out any one team here. I mean that when I say this. People are going to think I am. You would hope, though, when he talks very authentically, the point of tears, because he's envisioning, you know, the scenario which he's describing, and it's moving him to tears. A kid showing mom and dad, you know, Jim Leland's, what, 80 years old, I think, now? A kid showing mom and dad their new autographed baseball. I would hope baseball's taking notes on stuff like that, on the fact that the fans are important, and, like, specifically fans in markets where the teams just usually aren't that competitive, and trying to find a way to make the game even a little bit, because I think there's ways you could probably do it, maybe make it a little bit more equitable, or make it so that fans of those teams compel the owners of those teams to make it more worth their while. We had a situation like that, actually, on Friday at the game. One of my relatives has some connections within the Pirates organization and got other relatives, you know, their relatives. So these are my in-laws relatives at this point. They're Phillies fans, Donnie. And they got their little son into batting practice on the field. Comes back with a baseball signed by, like, Trey Turner, Rowdy Tellez, couple other Phillies players. Kid had a grin a mile wide. This is, like, sentimental me talking, but I hope, like, baseball realizes there are still chances to get lots more young fans by trying to figure out how it is that it isn't just the Phillies, the Dodgers, et cetera, that are good every year. Like, you can have this in more places than just the 7 to 10 teams that are mostly running the league every single year. Nothing from the football guy. Rendered speechless.
I didn't know when you wanted to end it.
I was just stopping it for you if you wanted to throw in anything else. It's okay.
I think baseball is the easiest sport to have that stuff happen. And certainly, like, you can get access a lot more easily, I think, than the other sports.
It's also the sport that requires the least in the way of a team showing signs of life, I think, to suck people back in. That part I really believe. I don't know why. Football season is such that you almost can't ever get too high or low about your team, because the next game's a week away and it's over. It feels like it's over quick. I would say the Pirates feel like they're back with a lot of younger fans right now, and they're 50 and 49, 99 games into the season.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.